12, 9:43 in the a.m. on the MST or AST for Arizona. Stupid time, silly time, not so silly. And I'm behind the wheel. I'm on Arizona 87 heading north to Winslow, making a right-hand turn and going to Fredericksburg, Virginia to get there time Monday night for my class so I can be in person. And this would be, I believe, slice 8. I had slice 6, and I had transferred it from my iPhone down to my MacBook Pro, which died. I hadn't done any editing on it, but I still have the file on my phone, so I've got 2 slices to edit, so I got some things to do while I'm overnighting at hotels over the next 3 or 4 days. So I will get those slices up. I will get them sliced, diced, and julienne served, because this is a Runco production. So, man, wow. There's a lot to reflect on the fact that, like I left in my house in June for the Road Odyssey, I'm leaving again, and that similar but somewhat different feeling of leaving, having done it once, knowing I can do that, spend a lot of time on the road, be self-contained with all my stuff in the truck here. So that part is pretty under wraps. I know I can, if I need to, drive 500, 600, even push 700 miles a day if I need to. I don't think I'll have to do any quite that long. I've got probably a couple 5 or 1.5, maybe 1.6 in the works here, but we'll see how it goes. It's a beautiful day, so word pictures. The sky is like the kind of blue that you like edit in Photoshop to make more intense. Really, not a single cloud at all. This is a 2-lane highway, and I have not seen one other vehicle, maybe one, maybe in the other direction, heading towards north. If you take this all the way, there's a left turn up ahead that takes you to Flagstaff. That's the back road, the Lake Mary Road, which is gorgeous. I'm going through ponderosa pine trees of the Coconino National Forest, and there's about a couple inches of snow on the ground that's not fully covered. It's been melting quite a bit since snow 2 days ago, but it's just gorgeous. Curves in the road should be like very, very relaxing. I'd say it is. So, have gotten through getting back to DS-106 class. Last night was my third session where I come in remotely by Skype with Jim Groom in the room. I just got to give Jim lots of accolades for all he's done. I mean, he's doing his class Tuesday, Thursday night. He's been coming Monday, Wednesday to facilitate mine. Brings me on Skype, does some video archiving for me, and just helps coordinate the communication with the students. It really is not an optimal way to teach, and you know, no one would ever like design a way to teach like that. You just can't even, I can't even see all the students in the class. The audio, I can sometimes not make them out what they're saying, and it's hard to interject. Well, you can interject, but when you can't really read their body language, and you're not have that physical presence in the room, you're sort of not there. But it's gone well so far. I think I got 20 out of 25 students who are now their WordPress blog set up, and they're just starting to go with that. They're learning their ropes on there. Some of them obviously know what they're doing or have done it before and are really taking off. And I look forward to highlighting and sharing them as we go. It's rather interesting the fact that we give them pretty much minimal directions on how to do this. There's some basics. And for students who really are not having experience with domains or whatever, it's really confusing. They have to register a domain, and like, is that my site? No, that's an address. It's like a pointer. And well, what does it point to? Well, you got to go to this other place. Well, which one should I go to? There's lots of them. Just pick one. Well, how do I know? Well, we like this one, but you can use any. So then they have to set up a web hosting account. Then they have to take the information they get back from that, go back to their domain register, update their name server, come back to their site, install WordPress. And then they're there at Hello World. But already, you know, at least probably more than half of my students have already changed their themes, have done some posts, they're doing daily creates, and it's really exciting. So what we've done, the first class was canceled because it was Martin Luther King holiday. And then second class, I did the introduction, and we had students to introduce themselves. Third class, I spent about half the time going over the process to set up the blogs, gave some WordPress pointers, introduced them to the cPanel, and then they broke out and started working individually. Well, they're supposed to start working on what they needed to do, whether setting up their domains and blog host, or the students who had were starting to work on the customization, looking at plugins, etc. And I was just watching, and it was great to see them. They were not just all quiet and sitting there pecking away alone at their computers. They were usually two or three to a group helping each other. The students who had already gotten their stuff set up were helping the other students, you know. And it is the kind of community thing that can happen online, but it happens so much more effectively and can in person. And more or less, I kind of watched as they were doing that. You know, some of them had some questions, and I tried to answer. Jim was helping, as he always is. And then yesterday was more of a discussion session. We had him do the reading of Gardner Campbell's Personal Cyber Infrastructure article and watch his No Digital Facelifts talk from Open Education Conference in 2009. I was in the audience. I could actually pick out my cackling laughter. And so that's kind of neat. Jim was there too because he was co-presenting. And it was interesting. I pulled together some links ahead of time so Jim could launch them. I had asked him to think about, and this I stole from Gardner when he does his new media seminars, and he asks the students to identify a nugget within a reading, like one sentence, one paragraph, that really raises their attention, jumps out at them, or makes them disagree, and just pay attention to that. So instead of trying to comprehend the whole meaning of, say, a difficult paper, if you kind of focus in on something that sparks that neuron juice in you, and then follow through with it, and that is the jumping ground for discussion. So I asked him to think about nuggets in his paper, as well as the video. I had set up the YouTube links where you can actually make it so it starts at a certain specified time code. So I had those preloaded so Jim could do that. So I had the one that started with his bag of golds a bit, and then talked about how last year that really set up this kind of meme of people coming up with different visual audio ways of remixing that message. So I showed them Tim Owens' really beautiful kinetic typography, where he took the audio of Gardner and did that animated text thing. Tom Woodward had done the audio sort of remix where he put a bed of music, and he just picked out the little segments of Gardner's talk that resonated with him. And that's a kind of nugget thing. So he's identifying the parts that are essential. I showed them Julia Forsythe's visual drawing of the talk, and again, you know, what she's doing is not trying to encapsulate the whole talk, but identifying those nuggets in a visual form. And I had a few more on the reference list, the blog post that I made. And then, so I had a couple questions to ask them. I wanted to ask them, you know, what do they think of, what is a bag of gold? What does that mean to you? And there was like this stony silence. One guy piped in something like, I kind of get it, but I really don't know what it means. So there's this kind of awkward beginning to those student discussions, and you know, where you wonder like, oh my God, I have another hour here. Is it going to be, you know, non-response the whole time? But we got going a little bit more when I asked them to ponder what is it? What is a digital facelift? What does that mean? And we got into some things. Some, you know, I'm talking about. And we actually got hung up here, and this is kind of interesting, that some of the students seem to think that Gardner was advocating this total transformation to everything in technology, which he doesn't. But, you know, they just kind of misread his paper. It was a few of them that did that. And we had this rather in-depth, and it did get them more engaged. They talked about why some things could be taught online and why they shouldn't be. And of course, you know, we went down the, you know, I don't want the surgeon who learned a skill online. And we had that discussion. about, you know, this one student who had some experience, it sounded like, in the military, was sharing his knowledge of how, I can't remember if it was Iraq or Afghanistan, they had used these surgical robots that were controlled by doctors in Germany. So in some sense, through technology, you can do remote surgery. And we had to talk about some more things about robotics and how important it is to, you know, do hands-on learning in sort of skill-based things like biology labs. There are two biology majors who spoke up, and crafts and, you know, applied skills. So, but you know, I don't think anybody anywhere has advocated learning to be a surgeon or a plumber all online. I mean, no one really suggests that, but that usually comes up as a discussion. But the students got really involved with that point, coming even to the point of questioning, you know, what is the purpose of a university when there are places out there where potentially, in theory, you could get credit for learning things that you can do effectively online. And, you know, Jim, of course, piped in with the example of the Stanford professor who took kind of the platform developed for that AI course and is now rolling out his own thing, what's it called, Udacity. You know, with the idea of possibly offering full programs in this online format, and a lot of good discussion among the students on how do you know that someone who took that program has those skills. And, so yeah, the discussion, actually that was the bulk of the discussion. I had to kind of jump in around with 15 minutes left because I wanted to have them talk a little bit about what their idea of the personal cyber infrastructure is. Got a little bit of silence. We got some things going. Some students really talking about how it represented, sort of. Well, there. I back up. Again, I borrowed Gardner's technique, where in seminar discussions, he actually has students read passages out loud, because that process of reading and listening sometimes can reinforce it in the group setting. So I had one student read out the definition of cyber infrastructure. Another student, I had these up on the set of links that I prepared for the class. And another student, I don't know, his own, decided to read the next paragraph that was on my page, which has Gardner's quote from McLuhan, which was good. The quote about how technologies often are, new technologies really have to reinvent themselves with what the message is, that it's not just about the old in the new form, which kind of feeds them back to the, of course, the Clay Shirky and the digital facelift bit. So we got some good discussion going. I was really pleased with the level of discussion that we got, especially by the middle and the end of the class. And we actually had to cut them off because it was the end of the class had ended. So, and some of the students are already posting their blog reflections. And things are rocking and rolling. And I will be there Monday. We're going to start our week looking at web storytelling. Have Brian Alexander come in, I think, on Thursday of that week, and haven't thought about how I'm structuring that week. That's what I need to think about and reflect on. We like to make one class hands-on and one class discussion, so I haven't decided whether, I think Monday I probably want to do hands-on because it'll be my first one present, give a chance to catch people up, students who haven't done their blogging, maybe have them get in and do an assignment sort, or maybe I'll have to do Petra Flickr or something like that. I have to think about that. I do want to introduce kind of each week gently a range of examples that are beyond the kind of storytelling they're doing this course, but would be considered or just interesting. And I will borrow liberally from Brian Alexander and his book because it's just chock full of examples. I always forget the author of the short story he always uses as an example. The last man on Earth alive sat alone in the room. There was a knock at the door. And that's a great launch point. Oh, and I think I'm going to borrow from Brian's. I'm borrowing from everybody, believe me. Brian has this great thing he does in his workshops to try to get people thinking about what is storytelling by asking what is not storytelling. I'm going to do that this week. So that's kind of what's happening. Looks like I got another 4 minutes and 20 seconds if I'm going to make this a 20-minute slice. So I got lots of time to be thinking, always be reflecting on the road here. this is, I'll close with a personal point here. I'm right about the point, I think, on my way back from my 6-month road trip. I'd come around here on late November, and it was evening. I had seen that glorious sunset up near Winslow, and I crossed the 15,000 mark point of my journey, which is, you know, big, and I noted that. And then right after, my iPod Shuffle came up and played the Rolling Stones, She's a Rainbow. And that just got me all choked up, not because, well, I do love the Rolling Stones, but that was the song that Andy Forgrave had played for me and for my mom that night I was with him in Belleville when I got the sad news that my mom had passed away. And just the whole irony of, you know, that milepost marker, 15,000 miles, that song coming on, the fact that mom was not going to be here for Thanksgiving, really just hit me hard. And I'm going to talk about something I'm still reflecting on. You know, loss of my mom, which of course everybody's sympathetic about. You know. And I know that the thing, she always surprised me. So when I told her last March that I was quitting my, you know, high-paying, prestigious job, and I was going to travel, and I was going to live off of savings and some my inheritance from my godmother, I really thought she was going to say, is that really a smart thing to do, Alan? You know, what about your health insurance? And, you know, what if something happens? And the economy's bad. What if you can't get a job when your money runs out? I thought she was going to come back at me with all those questions, questioning what I was doing. And there was a total opposite. She was excited. She thought it was wonderful. She thought my Aunt Martha would be proud. She was proud. She said my dad would be proud. And she was just 1,000% supportive. And, you know, if I could, you know, ever emulate her degree of full-on, unrequited love and support for the people in my life, I would be a better man for that. I'm thinking about you, Mom. I'm looking for butterflies. That's where I'm at. And where I'm at now is curving down the road. The trees are starting to get, there's fewer, you know, ponderosa pine trees are starting to get smaller. We dropped in elevation here off of the edge of the high country, the Mogollon Rim. Seeing more pinyon and juniper. Forest is opening up, and in a few miles, the trees will just gradually be gone and be replaced by the sagebrush. I'm blanking on the other high desert plants that are up here. But it's interesting how, you know, we think of, like, we're in a forest and then we're out of a forest, like there's a sharp line, but it's all transition. You know, we move, it just changes so gradually where you're in this middle of a dense forest and the trees slowly thin out. It's like when I was going out to California and I was just watching the night sky, because I left before sunrise, slowly become dark, and it's just so gradual. You can miss so much of the transition that you can't really say where one ends and the other begins. And if you're not, like, focused on it and paying attention, all of a sudden it's daylight. You know, you're like, whoa, man, I know it's sunrise. And the sky was going from black to dark purple to kind of deep blue, and all of a sudden, boom, it's daylight. We think it's abrupt, but everything in life is, or most things in life, are really gradational in terms of how they change. So that's my slice number 8, I believe. Cutting it off now because we're coming up on the 20-minute mark. Keeping my slices under 20. This is Alan on the road, checking out.